me, is there anything you don't like about President Obama? Our guest, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel contributor Eugene Kane, addressed that question in a recent column, and we'll talk with him about his answer this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, June 14th. Eugene Kane writes that he supports President Obama, and he says that he does not think that John McCain or Mitt Romney would have done a better job as president, but he says President Obama has made mistakes. Do you? Are President Obama's supporters blindly loyal to him? Has President Obama made any mistakes? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And I am happy to report that we have figured out our phone issue and the phones are working now. Eugene Kane is a contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning, Eugene.
Morning, Joy.
Why did you address this question in this piece? People were wondering whether you were blindly loyal to President Obama?
Yes, in general. And if you remember, it was also after the spate of so-called Washington, D.C. scandals that everybody was hanging on Obama. Are you saying, I think it was from the continuing Benghazi, the Department of Justice spying on reporters, then the NSA leaks, and along with all that just came a general tone from some readers, because I think I did kind of comment on each one of those, and a lot of times I didn't link it totally to being Obama's fault. So in response, what I got a lot of was, well, gee, you know, does Obama ever do anything wrong in your eyes? And it kind of hit me and resonated, because I think it is something that a lot of people hear from people who don't like Obama and are still, frankly, kind of resentful that he won his second term. So I thought it might make a good, you know, jumping off point for a column to actually be very honest and tell people that, well, of course, there are things I think he's done wrong, and I think there's things some of his supporters think he's done wrong. But just in comparison to what he was up against, I guess the whole thing was that you still like him as president, but sure, you can acknowledge that he's done some things wrong. Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, we also thought this would be a good jumping off point for a talk show as well. And you note that the polls did not show that Obama took a big hit because of these controversies. It was a Wall Street Journal NBC News poll recently that was taken after those three big controversies, the IRS.
Yeah, and I think those polls you're talking about were also part of my thinking, in that I got a lot of those comments after the polls came out, because, frankly, a lot of people were just sort of salivating at the idea that these Washington, D.C. scandals were going to put a dent in Obama's approval rating, and it really didn't, as you said.
Yeah, it was 48% in this particular Wall Street Journal NBC poll, 48%, which is statistically unchanged from 47% the month before. So, in any case, the headline is, yes, Barack Obama has made mistakes. What do you think President Obama's biggest mistake has been?
Well, I kind of shy away from listing them as what are the biggest ones. I just, you know, my attitude was that if you want me to honestly say, well, what do you think Obama has done wrong? I think the things I dealt with are things that personally I was kind of disappointed in, and personally things that I think could have been handled better or just dealt with a little better or even more strongly or effectively by the president. I think I started with the health care law, which a lot of people, you know, progressive liberals were kind of surprised that I put that down as a mistake. Not necessarily. I think the mistake in that was pushing it so hard to the point that it really became overly divisive and still sort of dogs him to this day, because my attitude was that if you did a ranking of what people really wanted Obama to work on, particularly in his first term, healthcare was up there, but I don't think anybody I know who is struggling with the economy or the job situation would have put that at the top of the list. Because frankly, healthcare is getting so expensive in this nation for most Americans, I think, for a lot of Americans. The bigger concern is, well, I hope I have an income or a job, because if I don't have that, I'm not really going to be able to afford any kind of health care. So I put that down, and I think I also mentioned, you know, I think he could have used his bully pulpit more for the real daunting issues of unemployment and even gun violence in the African-American community. Because, and this is something a lot of black people do feel, because we have the first black president. We understand he's not the president of just black people. He's got to look out for all people. But at the same time, I think there were, during his term, there were clear issues impacting on African Americans more than any other group. And I think he could have addressed that a lot more strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. You did say Obama ignored an epidemic of gun violence in big cities like his home city of Chicago and failed to use his bully pulpit as president to address a particularly deadly issue for many urban African Americans who were his biggest constituency. So what would you like to have seen the president do to make a difference with this issue?
Well, you can just look at what he's done with the gun control issue in general, which was sparked more by shootings in Sandy Hill and also other rural or even suburban communities, the mass shootings, the big shootings that have gotten all the attention. The way he addressed that, he used those actually as the motivating force to launch this big push against guns and for more gun laws. I think if he had just used that same kind of laser focus on violence in the inner city, he and Michelle Obama recently have showed up in Chicago and spoke about the issue of the gun violence there. And even though you can't say it actually changed anything immediately, I can't help but think if he had addressed that with that same sort of, you know, high profile attack in some black communities, maybe it would have led to some sort of initiative or more proposals. So, but we won't know, because again, I think he reserved a lot of his strongest comments about gun violence to these big issues that basically were more involving children and basically white people in other areas. So it's not that gun violence is a white or black issue, but clearly the issues that he spoke out on seem to be sparked by incidents in places like Sandy Hill, Sandy Hook, and other places.
You also write, as you touched on, I wish Obama were willing to address black unemployment as a particular problem in drastic need of a solution rather than relying on his usual line that I am the president of all Americans, not just black people. You go on to say that everybody understands that, but you write, as president and chief executive of the nation who happens to be a black male, Obama should feel more personally invested in black male joblessness. Talk a little bit more about that. Why?
Well, it's a daunting problem in most of the major American cities. And when you look at economic development and the future of the workforce, it's got to involve African-American males in particular, because they are the ones that have this chronically underemployed population in a lot of these large American cities. It'd be hard to think of how to turn around or to keep the U.S. economy improving without getting these large masses of black men back to work. And again, government can't do everything, but the energy and the all of the willpower that he used to get something like the Health Care Act passed, I just tend to think that a jobs bill, which is not something new that has been talked about in the past and is certainly something feasible, even though it would be politically difficult, if you had a president who was pushing it and without even calling it a jobs bill for black men, he could certainly just target it to the urban areas, the bigger cities where the jobs would end up going to a lot of black men who are desperately in need of employment to support their families.
And here's an interesting one. You write, many black voters have noted that during his terms in office, Obama has little difficulty going to bat for the gay community, Hispanics, and even Jewish voters in terms of addressing certain issues with great significance to those groups. How about a little more love for black folks without acting like it's a special favor? Why do you feel that way?
Well, that's not just me. Of course, it's other black voters that I know and have talked to. The attitude is that Barack Obama is overly cautious, and when you see what he's up against in D.C. with his opponents in Congress, I guess you can kind of understand why. But from an African-American perspective, this has been a president who just doesn't want to link himself to just black voters, which is understandable. But at the same time, when there, you know, he went out on a limb for his support for gay marriage. He has certainly been in the mix for immigration reform that's going to impact a lot of Hispanic Americans. And he's always, you know, very cognizant of being supportive of Israel and things that are of concern to Jewish American voters. I just don't see a comparable issue involving black people that he has taken, like, front and center on. And again, I think it's because he does expect black voters to sort of give him a pass on that, because the attitude is that, well, he is the first black president, and we all understand how difficult that is, so we can't all just start demanding that he just help out black people. But after he's been elected twice now, and, you know, there's probably no chance they can get him out of office now, these are the kind of things a lot of black voters would like to see from him, where it is sort of like a tacit acknowledgement that, okay, although I was elected with a coalition of voters, without the 90-something percent of black voters, he would have never been elected president. So maybe it's time for some sort of, I don't know if you can say a payback, but some kind of, you know, acknowledgement of that.
We are talking with Eugene Cain. He is a contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There has been some criticism in the African-American community that President Barack Obama has not really addressed significant issues pertaining to African-Americans. And we are talking about this and other concerns with President Obama's second term. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your assessments. We welcome your ratings for President Obama's job performance. How's he doing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the Week in Review. Women would have to undergo ultrasounds before having an abortion, according to a bill making its way through the state legislature. It actually was passed by the Assembly yesterday and is on the governor's desk now. We'll talk about this story and many more in our Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. And a reminder that this is going to be the second pilot this afternoon of our new afternoon show, Central Time. The second pilot of Central Time will come your way between 3 and 5 this afternoon. Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickert will discuss news of the day, arts and culture, lifestyle topics with guest experts from Wisconsin and beyond. And they are looking for your feedback of this new show. You can go to their Facebook page, Central Time at WPR, on WPR. Right now we are talking with Eugene Cain, contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are talking with him about the issues he raised in a recent column. Yes, Barack Obama has made mistakes. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your assessment of President Obama's job performance. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Eugene, you didn't really address this in the column, but I was wondering, do you think that President Obama has, performed better or worse in in his second term?
Well, if we're, like a year into his second term now?
Barely, yeah.
I think he's done, I think what happened, what clearly has been happening is that, you know, since this year began, they seem to have been piling up these scandals and controversies. And I see him as kind of like stuck in a kind of quicksand right now, because that, again, one of the part reason the column came out was because he was getting barraged by all these negative stories out of D.C. and people who don't like him seem to take all that as more evidence of, see, we told you he wasn't good, he wasn't any good. So I think he's in a weird place right now, still sort of fighting back against all of this, you know, barrage of these negative stories. But essentially, I think it's still kind of early, although the time still is flying as you go through your second term. I don't know, in general, to answer your question, I say about the same. I think he's doing about the same.
Munther in Milwaukee is with us. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I actually wanted to make a comment about, I think sometimes we put too much, or we have too much expectations of presidents. I mean, we need to really acknowledge and really realize how much power lobbyist groups have over our government. Even I know Mr. Eugene Cain brought up, you know, how President Obama really pushed forward after the Sandy Hook incident and the other ones prior to that, to really push a gun control law that really focused on keeping guns out of criminals' hands. In the end, really, nothing really was accomplished with that, even though it was a strong push for it, because of the power that the NRA has over politicians. And with regards to how much support it even goes internationally with regards to how much APEC has over our government. I mean, we sacrifice our own needs and our own safety to support Israel because of how much power APEC has over our country. So we really need to acknowledge how much power lobbyist groups have over our government. I think they're really sometimes, a lot of times, I think our government's hands are tied, especially president-wise.
Eugene?
Well, I won't disagree with anything that he said there, because I'm realistic enough to know that, yeah, there's a lot of hands on the wheel in Washington, D.C., and it's not just the president. I think my point and the issues I'd kind of have identified are the ones that would benefit from essentially the bully pulpit of the presidency. If the president of the United States is talking about something, it's perceived as being important by the media and everybody else. So even if that's pretty much the only kind of real power he has, that is the kind of power that I think we've seen can be effective. Once he puts it on the front burner issue for the nation, people do kind of feel compelled to start dealing with it. So perhaps if he had done that in some other areas, we'd be further along right now. But I do agree, you know, the way things work in this system of government, the president can't snap his fingers and make anything happen.
Yep. Gary on Facebook says, Obama is a huge disappointment. I did not vote for the moderate Republican he has turned out to be. Dump Obama and get Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren in for president. Obama talks the talk but does not walk the walk. So there's a different perspective, a progressive liberal apparently, or Democrat, and he says Obama is a moderate Republican. What do you think?
Well, I've heard that from even the health care bill that was passed. I mean, there are a lot of people who still insist it was so watered down that might be one of the reasons now it's having so much trouble catching on with some people, because a lot of people were disappointed what he ended up getting out of that. And they see it as him always looking to compromise with Republicans in Congress who, frankly, are just obstructionists anyway. So given that, a lot of people that I know, black people and white people who voted for him, are disappointed because he just has not seemed to be the confrontational enough, I think I might add, which brings up a whole other aspect of having a black president, because I've also heard one of the reasons Obama has a sort of cool, detached demeanor is because a black American male, he knows he can't come off as too angry, because that plays into that whole stereotype of an angry black male. So that's kind of like a complex dynamic also. But it doesn't surprise me to hear about supporters of Obama who are dissatisfied with him.
Cody in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Cody.
Hi there. I would agree with the last caller. I do support President Obama. I guess my biggest failings would be what you mentioned was the lack of support for the public option in the healthcare debate. He dropped that off of the table before the discussions even started. And the other thing would be the surge in Afghanistan. I know he talked like that was the smart war or the necessary war, but I would have hoped when he got to the table, he would have not had this big increase in spending over there and more troops. That's my common thing.
Thanks. Do you have a reaction to that, Eugene?
Well, again, I've heard that. I've heard that from other people who support Obama also. Just goes to prove that, you know, the topic of my column was to sort of let people know, because there seems to be a large group of people who just see everybody who supported or voted for Obama as being, you know, blind to his weaknesses or even some of the defects that he has in terms of his management style. And that's not the case. I think a lot of people have their eyes very wide open about this president, but, you know, it was a choice between this guy or the other guy.
Yeah, and you still think that this guy's doing a better job than the other guy would have been able to do.
Oh, yeah, both of them.
We are talking with Eugene Kane. He is a contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking with him about his recent column, Yes, Barack Obama Has Made Mistakes. We're talking with him about the mistakes that Eugene Kane thinks President Obama has made, and we're wondering if you think Barack Obama has made mistakes, and if so, what? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are evaluating President Obama's job performance this hour with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel contributor Eugene Kane. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, June 14th. Eugene wrote about President Obama's mistakes in a recent column, mistakes especially from Eugene's perspective and from the perspective of the African-American community. And we are welcoming your job performance ratings for President Obama, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Why do President Obama's supporters continue to support him? Can Obama do no wrong? Eugene was asked that question, and he addressed it in this column, and we are talking with him about it. And we welcome your input, too. And our next caller is Ken in Oshkosh. Hello, Ken.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, the thing is, as what the gentleman before me said about any president would be in that situation. The thing we have to realize, and the tapes from LBJ and Nixon are a good place to find this, because as you listen to them, you hear the absolute perplexity of the president in regards to certain issues. Obviously, if his political or his intelligence or his State Department does not inform him about something, it's ridiculous to think that any human can keep all of this stuff in place. And because you have MIPAC, Military Industrial Pharmaceutical Agricultural Complex, in charge, so to speak, of Congress, people have got to wake up and understand when they vote for a president that in many ways, not totally, but in many ways, he is a figurehead for whatever the ideas are that the people vote for him for. But as far as being able to do things across the board, that's out of the question.
Well, it's out of the question that he should be able to do things, Ken.
It's not simply that he should be. It's that he cannot.
Yeah, so I get it. So he's being hindered by the opposition party, I think, is where Ken is there to some extent. What do you think of that, Eugene?
Well, I think I do agree that it's not just this president. All presidents are hamstrung to a certain degree, and a lot of voters are caught up into the horse race of electing a president without realizing that, okay, you elect the guy you want, and when he wins, now what can he actually do to turn to address all the stuff he was promising in his campaign? And usually they all fall short of that. So if we're talking about the fact that president is a very tough job, hard to get things done, I totally agree. I think my criticism of Obama still relate to the areas where I think a president is still pretty effective in his country, which is, again, using the office as this bully pulpit to send out a message that these are the priorities for my administration. These are the things that I think we really need to get people talking about trying to get a solution done.
Yeah.
So there are still things that a president can do, because he essentially can go on TV anytime he wants. Every statement he makes gets recorded and ends up on the front page of newspapers. So no one will ever find me arguing that the president is in some ways just sort of like a figurehead. And, you know, I've realized that for a long time, but that's not really the actual actions that I'm suggesting that he could take that could benefit these issues.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your hopes and dreams when President Obama was first elected. What were you hoping was going to be accomplished?
Well, to tell the truth, I told this to people before, I was never one of those folks who expected the election of Obama to basically change things for the better for all African Americans, which is a group that, you know, that I've concentrated my journalism on, and even, you know, my actions in the black community are usually about the betterment for black people. So the real significance of Obama being elected to me was largely symbolic. It was symbolic because for the first time, black children could have a president to look up to. Older black people who have suffered through some of the worst conditions during Jim Crow and the racism of the early part of the 20th century who were still alive, they would get something out of it. So it was really, and I knew it, it was a symbolic thing that showed how far the country had come from those days. And it's an inspirational thing, because now that there's been Barack Obama, there really are few excuses for a lot of people who used to think that being black was a barrier. This is black and white people of all color who thought being a certain race or a certain shade or color prevented you from following your dreams. So, yeah, in my mind, that's really all I expected out of Barack Obama, because I think by the time he was elected, I had followed politics enough to know it wasn't going to be a magic wand. I think hopefully I also thought he would aid racial relations, because once you got a black president and people realize that, hey, a black president is really no more effective or less effective than all these white presidents we've had, I thought that in a way would aid racial relations in America. I'm kind of disappointed that I think the election of Barack Obama basically seemed to put a sharper edge on some race relations than I expected and made it even a little meaner and in some cases even much more uglier. But I guess that's all a byproduct of the times also.
Yeah, and we talked briefly about how you wrote that he is talking about issues that are of importance to the gay community, like talking about, you know, marriage equality or working on immigration, comprehensive immigration reform, which is of great interest to Hispanics, and not really, I guess, showering attention on issues that are important to the black community.
Yeah, where's the comparable issue for African Americans who overwhelmingly voted for him?
Yeah, and they overwhelmingly voted for him. And I'm wondering if that's a part of why you are not getting the attention, because there's more electoral headway to be made with immigration and gay marriage than the black community is going to vote for Barack Obama or the Democratic candidate most likely. Is that? Do you think that's a part of it?
It could be, except I'd argue that a majority of, I think surveys showed a majority of Hispanic Americans voted for Barack Obama. Mm. I've seen polls that say a majority of Jewish Americans voted for Barack Obama. So, I mean, if you're going to say he takes certain groups for granted because they always vote for him, I think there are a lot of groups like that. About the only group in this country that doesn't consistently, that didn't vote overwhelmingly for Barack Obama during the last two presidential elections were essentially white people. Some in the South, mainly in the South, mm-hmm. but in general, more white people voted for McCain and for Romney than voted for Obama. And a lot of people are surprised to learn that, but it bears up when you look at the numbers. A coalition elected Obama both times that included white people and Hispanics and African Americans, but the one group that has never really consistently voted for him has been white Americans, but he certainly has spent time, you know, dealing with issues of concern of white Americans as well as other groups. So that's, I guess I'm just saying, I understand that it's easy to take people for granted if you're all, if they've got your vote in their back pocket, but that doesn't just apply to black voters. That applies to a lot of Democratic voters in general.
Well, let's, we have other callers, so let's go to Jerry in Menasha. Hello, Jerry.
Hi. Your guest is obviously a Republican and has an agenda.
Really? Why? I'm going to take you off, Jerry, because I don't know. That's not what you said you were going to say. What's your reaction to that, that you're a Republican, Eugene Kane?
No, that's a nice eye-opener for me. You know, I'm wide awake now. So it was good to hear, you know, exactly why he thinks that.
But. Well, he hung up. I'm not quite sure where that's going. But
no harm done, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, we are talking to Eugene Kane. He is a contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is a supporter of President Obama's, but he says, yes, President Obama has made mistakes. He was asked by his readers, tell me, is there anything you don't like about Obama? And he answered that question in a recent column, and we are talking with him about it. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions. Do you think President Obama has made mistakes? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and mild. We can expect high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Cooler, low to mid-60s near Lake Superior. On the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, cloudy and mild. There is a chance of rain, highs primarily in the 70s. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different political viewpoints talking with you about the top state, national, and international news stories of the week. The Week in Review coming up. Right now we are talking about President Obama's job performance with Eugene Kane, who is a contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We have an email from Burris who says, overall, I think our president is doing a great job. We have to remember that Republicans have pretty much put policymaking aside and have concentrated on making him fail. My only issue is that he has not worked harder to get money out of politics. If anyone is still awake, they see what this has done to our state. All right, so your reaction to that, Eugene, that Republicans have pretty much put policy making aside and have concentrated on making Obama fail.
No, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Obstructionists, there's certain folks in D.C. who just seem, they don't care about anything else except making Obama fail. And even when he wins a second term, it's like now they're setting it up to keep him from doing anything that can be used as a positive for whoever decides to run for president on the Democratic side the next time. So all given all that, you know, that he's got a tough job, everybody's against him on the other side, and it's hard to get anything done in the current environment in D.C. Again, the things that I sort of identified are things that I think he still could do by making it, by speaking out and just being more forceful on those issues. It still is no guarantee that he would have solved the problem with black unemployment or gun violence in inner city, or even gotten further along with the health care bill than he did. But yeah, I totally agree that this is a president who, since he was elected the first time, there's been a certain group of Republicans who just don't care about anything except, you know, blocking him at every turn. So yeah, I totally agree with
that. What about has he worked hard enough to get money out of politics?
No, again, that's one of those big picture issues that it would be hard. Well, to answer your question, no, I don't think he has. I don't think any of them have, and I share that emailer's concern that that's one of the big problems now, regardless of what party we're talking about. There's so much money behind the scenes that, you know, I think we'd all be able to address issues a lot more, not easier, but we might be able to do it a lot more straightforward if there wasn't all this money in the background clouding up people's motivations on things.
Gary in Ripon is with us now. Hi, Gary.
Hi, I guess I'm largely in agreement with Mr. Kane. I think a big part of the problem is Barack's rhetoric, certainly in the beginning, was way different than his actual deeds. He just seems kind of like a ball in a pinball machine. He just reacts to everything. He never acts. And I understand he's got all these forces working against him. What he should do, which I think Mr. Kane is saying, is just simply come out and tell us, here's what I want to do. But here's all these people opposing me, so I guess it isn't going to get done. But I never actually get a sense for what he really wants.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Eugene?
Well, that's a common criticism that I've heard also, either that he's not forceful enough or he doesn't really take on his opponents. And, yeah, I mean, that it's hard to say, again, because I did support him and I don't think any of the people he ran against would have done a better job. But that certainly doesn't preclude me or anybody else who supported Obama from pointing out that maybe he hasn't been the best that he could be. And in the remaining 3 years, he probably needs that kind of challenge to sort of be more forceful and direct. Because I frankly, once you win your second term, I'm wondering, you know, exactly what he's so afraid of now that he doesn't really get more forceful. I mean, it's not like, well, I was about to say it's not like they can get him out of office, but these days, you know, I've actually heard people claim that he could be impeached over Benghazi and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I share the frustration that, you know, he came in with a lot of high hopes and aspirations, but in some areas it just hasn't come to fruition. And I'm not sure if that's totally his fault or not, but that's certainly the fact.
Thank you, Gary and Ripon. Now we go to Gary in Racine. Hello, Gary number two.
Good morning. When I listen to your guests speak about the agenda that the president should have for the black community or for the Hispanic community or for the gay community, he's breaking the country down into subsets, which in itself is a type of racism, which seems to be a buzzword. But, you know, when you continue to do this, when you continue to separate Americans, the job of the president is to do what's best for the country, not to do what's best for the gay community or the black community. And as long as you continue to do this, as you see under this president, we have, it seems, more racial tension than we had previously. Just one last thing about the, you know, the whole idea of breaking things down into races. I no longer answer that question on the U.S. Census about what is your race. Your race does not come into play. If it should come into play on an employment or anything else, then you shouldn't be asking these questions and collecting the data and using those things in order to drive a wedge between groups of Americans.
Gary, thank you for calling. Let me ask you, though, Eugene was saying that the president is addressing issues of concern to the gay community and is addressing issues of concern to the Hispanic
right.
community, but is not addressing what Eugene sees as some important issues facing the African-American community, like black unemployment. So, I mean, should the president largely not use his bully pulpit to try to improve on an issue like black unemployment?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, you're breaking these down. He's not the idea of immigration, which I don't agree with. I don't agree that a person should be able to come into a country illegally, but that's a whole nother thing. You're breaking this down as though it's some sort of, as though it's specific only to Hispanics. Let's not forget that there are other immigrants in this country that this pertains to.
Right, I get it. All right, so he thinks that the president needs to be president of everyone, not just specific communities. Eugene, what's your response to that?
Well, I've heard variations of the theme that he's talking about, which it seems to me is basically why do you have to acknowledge race in this country? And, you know, I've been a journalist writing about these issues for a long time, and I guess my only action is that I don't think I divide the races, and I don't think I'm the one who's separating people into categories. It's society has done that. So you can either acknowledge it or just pretend it doesn't exist. And I've always preferred to acknowledge it. I don't think, you know, anything that I've said, you know, generates any kind of racism. I think it's my perspective, the way I see things. People are clearly free to disagree with me on that. But I just never really kind of accept when people say, this stuff will be solved if you just don't talk about it, and just we're all, you know, colorless or colorblind, because that's not the America that I live in. I'm sorry.
Let's go to John in Rib Lake. Hello, John.
Good morning, Gene and
Joy and Eugene.
And generally go ahead. Okay, anyways, thank you. I'm sorry. Following up on the prejudice and on the racial tones, I was a kid when President Kennedy was elected, but, you know, religion was a issue then, and I think now it still is, sadly, both and with President Obama, both race and perceived religion, people accusing him of being aligned with the Islam. So it comes to my question. I don't know. Just folk came up on my email. Somebody had talked about the term dimititude. I think that's how you pronounce it. D-H-I.
We're almost out of time, John, so I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Anyways, it's supposed to be that Obamacare is favoring Muslim people. Just one more thing that comes up where people are,
yeah,
are using, you know.
They're trying to I guess, paint President Obama as a Muslim. And we have less than a minute. Eugene, do you have a quick comment on that?
That's a new one on me in terms of health care benefiting Muslims more than anybody else. But where does that do? I would just ask, where does that come from, though? I don't think if Obama was anything other than African-American with the name that he has, I don't think people would be suggesting that.
So what is the first thing you'd like to see President Obama do to reach out to address issues of concern to the African-American community?
Well, I think, you know, locally he should address the gun violence in black communities specifically, and then have a bully pulpit speech in which he talks about the lack of resources for black Americans, males in particular, who are out of work at this particular time, and call it a crisis. And get companies, and, you know, it doesn't have to be government help. He could, you know, just ask private companies, start some sort of public initiative to just get jobs for these people.
Thank you.
It might ruffle some feathers, but that's what I'd like to see him do.
Thank you so much. Eugene Cain, contributor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.